Isn't it lovely to have a morning that begins with young families dedicating themselves to raising kids in the knowledge and love of Jesus? It's pretty exciting, and it reminds me what an incredible thing it is for young people to grow up surrounded by the love of God. There are so many kids in our world that don't grow up with that. They don't experience it. They don't know what it is to have a village that loves them, a God that loves them, a hope and a future. And so as we watch our young people experience that and step into that, what a beautiful and exciting thing that is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your presence with our kids. Thank you, you walk the journey. You keep us growing. You have life and future for us. And you invite us to know you and therefore know life better, abundantly. As we open your word today, we welcome you to stir in our hearts, to keep us growing, living and loving as you want us to. And so we offer this time to you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, last week I shared with you that one of our new priorities as we go forward into 2024 is that we are going to focus on connecting the emerging generations to Christ. We're actually going to make it a priority to go after and share with the emerging generations in our church and neighborhood the good news of Jesus. We believe that this is where belonging and value, meaning and purpose can be found. An abundant life is found in knowing Jesus. And so last week we talked a little bit about that, and I wanted just to take a bit longer today, considering we're talking about families and babies and emerging generations. I wanted to take a little bit longer to talk about what it means to follow in the steps of Jesus to cultivate the next generation for abundant life. So Jesus has come to give abundant life. He talks about that life and life to the full. He says, it's okay, we roam. Church, roam, it's fine. And, you know, one of the great things about Jesus is that he offers wisdom and life to us in every stage of our lives. And, you know, there's a lot of wisdom out and about. I don't know if you've come across it, if you've read any blogs, if you listen to any podcasts. There's a lot of wisdom in our world. Pop culture has a lot of information. It wants to tell us how to live. And if you're living in this crazy world and raising babies in this crazy world, you've got people pulling you in every direction all of the time. So much advice. I remember when my kids were babies 14, 16 years ago, and they weren't allowed to eat anything before they were 6 months old. Not a Skerrica food in their mouth. Do not do it. Was the rule. Hard and fast. My maternal nurse, she was hard about it. But, you know, within 3 months after my kids started eating, the rule changed. Give them food whenever they like. Start them up. Don't give them peanuts and carrots. But give them food whenever they like. Because the wisdom of the world was changing and growing. And I think there's a real challenge for people raising kids. You must sometimes feel like, oh my gosh, this is a crazy world and I just don't know what the best and right thing is to do. But thankfully, God has a way. He teaches us his way. And we can, as we trust in his way, we can raise our kids and know that he's holding them. So I wanted to talk about God's view of kids just a little bit. We've got our Leaders Retreat, our Kids Quest Leaders Retreat in the room. I think that's right. Is that right? Are they awake? They've had a sleepover, a wakeover, whatever they've had. But, you know, hopefully you guys are ready to take notes because this is part of the heartbeat of our church when it comes to children's ministry. We've been thinking about children and Jesus' attitude to children for the last 10, 15 years and slowly forming a theology and a way of being. And so you might notice if you're visiting our church that we're a little bit different with our kids than some churches. We're not so uptight and upright, but we've got and have developed a theology of children's ministry based on the way Jesus was, and we want to share that today. So Kids Quest leaders can take notes. Everyone else can either sleep if you need it in Jesus' name or listen in and enjoy the ride. In Mark chapter 10, people were bringing their children to Jesus and for Jesus to place his hands on them. And the disciples rebuked these parents. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I so love this story. There's lots of layers to how great this story is. But in it, we see and we can understand something of the kingdom of heaven. What a classic. There are the parents and they're watching Jesus lay hands on people and heal them. And people are going from broken to whole, and they're going from sick to well, and they're going from heartbroken to redeemed and living. And they see Jesus lay his hands on people and their lives be transformed, and they think to themselves, huh, here's a good idea. I want the very best for my kids. And when Jesus lays hands on and blesses people, their lives are changed. That's what I'm going to do. And so they make a little queue and they line up ready for Jesus to lay hands on their kids because they want to give their kids the very best chance at life. And we really understand that, don't we? Because we want that for our kids. We go after whatever it is to try and give our kids the very best chance. But the disciples see them lining up and they're like, I see what's going on here. And Jesus is very busy and this is adult business. And so you and you go away. You can't come here. You're not welcome. Jesus has got Jesus business and it's with the grown-ups. And so we have this story where people who are seeking the best are turned away from Jesus. And Jesus catches wind of what's going on. He hears. And you don't see Jesus get cross very often in Scripture. I think it only happens twice, maybe three times if you count Lazarus. But this is one of the times, probably the first time, he gets cross. Mark's gospel tells us he was indignant. My little children's book says he was furious, and I like that better. It has a lot of energy about it, doesn't it? He was so furious with the disciples for sending these parents who were seeking the best for their kids away. I love that Peter included this little story in Mark's gospel. Peter's likely the one who gave Mark the gospel, the stories. And while the whole story is recorded in other gospels, this little bit of information where Jesus was really furious only turns up in Mark. And I wonder about that. I'm intrigued. Why does it only turn up in one of the gospels? And then as I think about it, I think about whether it was Peter, who was probably the ringleader, sending people away from Jesus, because he spends his whole discipleship trying to wriggle his way to the top of the pile. Have you seen him and noticed him? Over and again, he's trying to find out who's the greatest in the kingdom. Is it me? Who's the greatest Jesus in the kingdom? I think it's me. Jesus, who's the greatest? I'm pretty sure me. And so he spends his whole life when he's walking with Jesus, shuffling to try and find purpose and meaning and validation, some sense of security and sense of self-worth. But in doing so, he practices what we now know is religion, the practice of excluding others so that we can get a better seat at the table. And this is what Peter does in this story, as well as probably the other disciples, is that he pushes others away so he can get closer because he doesn't understand that religion is no way to experience the blessing of God. And I think Peter wants every generation of church to know this story because he outs himself, he embarrasses himself so that everyone knows that the kids count and that Jesus said so. And so the church for the next 2,000 years doesn't exclude kids. I think it's important to him, so important he embarrasses himself. This backs in what Jesus says in all of the Gospels, let the children come and do not hinder them. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because maybe we've never turned kids away like Peter did, but gosh, the idea of hindering children from coming, I might have sometimes done that. There are times that we've shushed and shushed and shafted and outsourced and put in front of the telly kids to keep them a little bit quiet so we can have our good church time, yeah? It's one of the things that we do. And yet Jesus so clearly says, do not hinder them from coming. And as I reflect on myself, I think about this great phrase I learned from Young Life, a teen ministry. The phrase is this, it's a sin to bore a kid with the gospel. And maybe I've hindered kids sometimes. You know, in this church, We are passionate about making our faith for kids and our gospel for kids accessible and fun and playful. We are committed to not hindering kids from finding and discovering and experiencing the abundant love of God. A colouring sheet is not enough. Like sometimes it's enough, but it's not enough, right? We want our kids to know that when Jesus walked the earth, he included kids in his mission. He partnered with them in his ministry. Think of the little boy and his lunch. Who got the miracle that day? Who brought their gift and told that story 700 times later? Can't you imagine? I was the one with Jesus, and together we did this miracle. Jesus ongoingly worked with children. In fact, I'm pretty sure Lazarus was the only adult Jesus rose from the dead, apart from himself. The rest were kids. He was committed to ministry with kids because he considered that they were the greatest in the kingdom of God. The greatest in the kingdom of God. This becomes the challenge and the drive for us. This is why we are committed to bringing the gospel to the emerging generations, because we want to prioritize what God prioritizes. We want to align ourselves with Jesus and his teaching, and we will not embody religion and exclusion because they're noisy or they're messy or they're just little people and they won't remember. We refuse to exclude children because Jesus refused to exclude children. In fact, in Matthew 18, we see this great example as we engage with the idea of who is the greatest in the kingdom. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them, and he said, "I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of those little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus took children's ministry very seriously. He was passionate about ensuring that the community functioned in the same way that he did. Because the greatest in the kingdom is not the most powerful, the smartest, the best looking, the best basketball player. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who belongs to God and is loved by him. That is all that is required to be great in the kingdom of God. Isn't that incredible? It's such a contrast to our world. Jesus is not interested in following the patterns of this world. He's not reading the Mamma Mia posts about how to make your kid great. Instead, he says, "Teach them to belong in my love, to find their place at home in the center amongst my people and my love." Religion will always lead us to try harder. We'll always try to tell our kids, "Come on, you can do better. Come on, tidy your room. Come on, better results in your exams." Oh, it's exam week in our house this week. You know, the temptation is always going to be there for us to push our kids to find greatness in the world. But greatness is found in belonging to God. And this is what we've got to teach our kids. This is what we've got to help them find and discover, that when they are loved by God, they are secure, they are protected, and they are safe. I love this image when Jesus brought the kid amongst adults, because I always think kids change the way adults behave. Have you noticed this? You know, you have these big burly adults and you bring a baby in and everybody turns to mush, don't they? They just turn to soup. Paul does. Whenever Paul holds people's babies, watch him, he flirts with them. He becomes like a cartoon character and his face becomes all big and excited. He's just a different person entirely. And God made children like that to help us learn that love is a matter of the heart and greatness is a matter of the heart, being found secure in God and his love. So as a church, we are committed to always welcoming children among us. We're committed to fighting to value children, not for what they can do, but for who God says they are. We're committed to leading them to find their worth and value in the love of God. Yes, they're messy and noisy. And yes, it's easier when they're not in the room sometimes. And you know, it's okay to have a break every now and then. But we refuse to align ourselves with the disciples and send the kids away. We always include a kids' song. It's a bit chaotic. They collect up the communion. They participate. Sometimes they're on the stage. We welcome them here because we know that to do otherwise would be to align ourselves with the fury of Jesus. And that is a place you do not want to be. Just for you, Laura. So, let's be a church who live that calling out. Let's follow the teachings of Jesus and embody them for our kids. One last thought before it's time for lunch. Jesus didn't intend this passage of bringing the kid in the middle to be a parenting lesson, but I thought it is anyway. It's a beautiful model. So I'm just going to give a couple of things. If you can't remember anything else that I said, and it's helpful to remember this, I thought I'll give you just a couple of things to take home with you. When a child is in the middle, they are surrounded. So you know Jesus brought the child into the center. They are surrounded by security and love, a safe place. When children are in the middle, they can listen and learn. They're included. They're amongst the action. They hear what's happening and they see the way we do things. When children are brought into the middle, we can see them. They are known. We see who they are and how they're wired. When children are in the middle, we can teach them by showing them instead of just telling them. If I told you once, I told you twice. When children are in the middle, we can form them gently, correctively, safely, and lovingly. When children are in the middle, we are formed. We're challenged to let go of control. Never work with children or animals. When children are in the middle, we are forced to extend the character of God. It's required of us, and God is embodied through these actions. When children are in the middle, they distract us from our meditation and religion, but they reveal the kingdom of God to us. Hands up, parents, if you've ever learned something of God from your kids. Yeah, absolutely. When children are in the middle, we can shape them and train them with secure boundaries. We can cultivate wisdom and we can love them and teach them to love others. I hope that's helpful, interesting, something to reflect on. I'm so glad you've been here, part of this great adventure, this celebration with Sam and Laura and Jake and Zach and the family, but also a space where as a community we can remember our formation, our theology, our theory, our practice, our future, and how we are going to engage the emerging generations with the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the invitation to let the children come to you. We recognize sometimes it's easier if they don't. And then we remember that we are children too, and how much we long to be comforted and loved, blessed and healed by your touch, by your words, by your presence. We thank you that you invite and welcome each and every one of us. And even in this moment, maybe it's been a little while, but we respond to your act of love, your reaching out, your extension to us, and your welcome of us. And today as a church, we take our stand afresh and again to cultivate a love for children in this community and to connect the emerging generations in this local community with Jesus Christ. We are committed, Lord, as you were, to share the gospel of Jesus with our community, starting with the littlest, the least, and the lost. We offer ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, in this. In Jesus' name, amen.